Hello and welcome to the Paleo Baby podcast. I'm joined today by Seth Bronheim. Seth is the Director of Nutrition at UCAN, the makers of Superstarch. Seth is a registered dietitian. Hello and welcome, Seth.
Thank you for having me on the podcast.
No, our pleasure. So I should start by explaining what Superstarch is and how I started using it. I think I'm right in describing, and interrupt me if I'm wrong here, Seth, that Superstarch is a high molecular weight cornstarch supplement that's really great for endurance athletes. And I was originally turned onto it as a better alternative to the sugary sports gels and fluids that I'd previously been using it. And it was actually Dr. Peter Attia. I watched his presentation probably 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago. And that was kind of what inspired me to try it. And I realized at about that time that I was headed into pre-diabetes. So I'd begun checking my blood glucose and found that, you know, my fasted morning blood glucose was heading above that, you know, 5.5 millimolar. So like 100 milligrams per deciliter range. And it was clear to me that I had far too much carbohydrate in my diet. And the reason that the Superstarch appealed to me was because it requires less of an insulin response in order to be absorbed as energy. Now, it was kind of interesting, my progression with the product, because initially it didn't work particularly well for me. Well, when I say that, it worked as a gram for gram replacement for the maltodextrin that I'd previously been using. And I was using a lot of maltodextrin, like one gel every 40 minutes. And if I found that if I didn't do that, I had like severe symptoms of hypoglycemia. And so I was having to eat as much superstarch as I was the maltodextrin. But then I ran a Geneva Diagnostics comprehensive profile, which is a urine test. And one of the many things it showed on that test was a deficiency of carnitine. So carnitine is a nutrient that shuttles fatty acids into the mitochondria. And it might just be a coincidence, but when I started supplementing with carnitine, I found that I needed less and less of the superstarch. It was almost like, you know, fat burning training wheels. So it was kind of a progression for me, you know, where I started off as a sugar burner, and it was almost like the superstarch and the carnitine were the facilitators that allowed me to become a fat burner. And, you know, what's really interesting about the product for me now is I can continue to take it as a form of carbohydrate, but knock myself out of nutritional ketosis. So I've measured my blood ketones and they can stay in the 2 millimolar range even after taking superstarch. So, it's a super cool product, and I've got some good questions here for Seth. So, Seth, maybe you could start by telling me, you know, who can benefit from using Superstarch? Is it just, I mean, I'm a pro mountain biker now, and, you know, who else can benefit from this product?
I mean, I know you mentioned that, you know, our start was in it with endurance athletes, because, you know, our carbohydrate, by the way, it's what we call Superstarch. It's non-GMO corn, so it's not genetically modified corn. But what makes it unique is how it releases into the body. And as you mentioned, the insulin response. So we take non-GMO corn, and there's a patented cooking process where over the course of 40 hours, using just heat and water, that's the process, our carbohydrate elongates. And there's no enzymes or chemicals used to make this carbohydrate. So it's not like an engineered supplement. It's actually a food product. When sports teams buy our product, they use their food budget, not their supplement budget. And we have a lot of NFL. We have a lot of NFL and NBA teams because it's permissible by food standards. So, you know, after, you know, years of research, it was meant for kids originally with a rare blood sugar disease, and they were using, you know, superstarch at night to keep their blood sugar stable. But because this carbohydrate gets a lot longer, it breaks down in your intestines very slowly. So it's like a drip into your bloodstream. You know, a lot of people, you know, notice that there's no spike in blood sugar. So it releases, there's no spike, but it releases slowly over time. So it's not just that it's a low glycemic, you know, low insulin carbohydrate. It's really its ability to keep blood sugar stable over time, which is what makes it great for an endurance athlete. But also, you know, someone who's, you know, waking up in the morning, like a teacher, let's say, you know, they, you know, a lot of the teachers that we work with, they can't break to pee. and they can't break for a snack.
Right.
So if they have a carbohydrate source in the morning, that's not going to spike their blood sugar. It's going to keep it steady over time. But meanwhile, they're going to keep insulin low so they can actually utilize fat as a fuel in the morning. They're not going to go into lunch ravenous or with low blood sugar or that 11 a.m. It avoids that 11 a.m. feeling that a lot of people in the corporate world feel, and also, you know, teachers and doctors and nurses feel, because you've gone too long without, you know, eating food. But at the same time, you're looking for something to manage your energy, but also manage your mood throughout the morning, and just keeping your blood sugar stable does those two things. And so that's why it's not just for, you know, endurance athletes. It's a healthier form of carbohydrate that really it's the way you'd want a carbohydrate to act. And when you think about that, you think about it, it really works for everybody for various goals, whether it's someone who's trying to keep their blood sugar stable in the morning and avoid that 11 a.m. feeling and keep their focus in the morning, to that, you know, NFL player who's trying to get through a 3-hour practice and doesn't want the spike and crash from, you know, sugar-based sports drinks.
Right. Yeah. So that's quite an important point, actually, that, you know, we've started this functional medicine practice and we've been running the adrenal stress profiles, and we're finding people with, you know, really messed up cortisol and other hormones. And that goes hand in hand with sugar cravings and blood sugar dysregulation. And so it's one of the most common complaints I hear is, you know, what can I do to stave off the sugar cravings? And I think there's probably a number of things that would be quite effective, but certainly UCAN seems like, you know, a really good option that's going to give you that smooth energy delivery and like stop you getting to a place where, you know, the cravings are going to take over and then you're going to make a really bad decision, like a pint of Haagen-Dazs or something like that.
Exactly. It's the ability to stabilize blood sugar over a period of time. And, you know, the brain, you know, especially just, you know, think about the brain. Your brain doesn't need, you know, 30 grams or 40 grams of carbohydrate at once like you might get in a bowl of cereal, or you know, someone who's having, you know, scrambled eggs for breakfast but still has a slice or two of toast on the side or a banana. You know, that those carbohydrates aren't going to last you nearly as long as you can, but they're also going to spike your blood sugar. And you know, if you're someone who's trying to, you know, lose weight or has risks for diabetes, you know, spiking insulin and blood sugar in the morning is going to be an opportunity away from your goals, not an opportunity toward your goals.
Right, exactly. So what sets UCAN apart from just, say, real food? So, you know, that's one of the things that we've been advocating. It's really the foundation of, you know, what we're offering Nourish Balance Thrive, and that's, you know, to fix people's diet. So what makes UCAN different from just, say, you know, a potato or a sweet potato or any other source of, you know, real food carbohydrate?
You know, so when you look at a potato, for example, you know, it's going to raise your blood sugar significantly because, you know, the carbohydrate's going to get digested a lot more quickly.
Right.
You're going to have also the corresponding insulin response. So the difference, there's two differences with UCAN. First off, you know, it's going to make your brain and your body feel, there's no food that can make you feel the way UCAN does. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's an experience you have, especially in the morning. You know, it's a very, you know, when you start your day with UCAN, because when you start your day with stable blood sugar, you control it the rest of the day. You know, just ask anybody who's had a high carb meal for breakfast. You know, most people don't have potatoes for breakfast, but if they have, let's say, a bowl or two of cereal, you know, you know, 2 hours later, you're craving more carbohydrates. Your energy's not where it needs to be, and that's why you need to have more carbohydrates at that time.
Right.
So UCAN's ability is, you know, there's a lot of things that are low glycemic out there. You know, fructose is low glycemic. You know, we could talk about vegetables, but UCAN's ability to slowly release over time is how it's going to keep your blood sugar stable. And a potato, a sweet potato, you know, those things, they can't do that release over time. And also they have corresponding insulin responses because those carbohydrates are digested, you know, much more quickly. So you're going to have that insulin rise. And if you're someone who's trying to lose weight, you know, and a lot of folks move toward paleo because they notice, you know, oh, when I eat higher protein, higher fat, you know, more vegetables in my diet, my body composition's better too.
Yeah.
So, you know, and everybody, you know, especially, you know, when you're trying to lose weight, let's say, and everybody's so happy when they hear, oh, I can finally, you know, have protein and I'm not going to gain weight. You know, it's kind of like the person that is having pasta for dinner, or they're having baked ziti at night, and they're trying, they're, they're having a small portion, so they're still hungry afterward, but they're not satisfied at all. And once they move toward paleo and they start figuring out, oh, I can have, you know, higher protein meals at night, I'm going to lose weight and feel full. Oh, I feel amazing. They're so happy. Mm-hmm. So now, but the problem is that they still don't have, can't get energy from somewhere. You know, anybody who just has a high protein diet and keeps carbs low, they notice they still have cravings. They have that brain fog, especially in that first month. So now we finally have a carbohydrate that you can add to, whether it's a paleo plan or a low carb plan, or just someone who's trying to manage their weight, to find a carbohydrate that's actually going to not block their fat breakdown.
Right.
But it's also going to keep, it's going to match the rate they need calories. So you're not going to get an influx of calorie at once, but a slow release over time to manage their energy levels, especially for their brain. Cause it's really, that's, you know, when folks have too many carbs at once, it's the way that makes their brain feel, that you get that spike, you come on down, you need more carbs. And so we found out the carbohydrate that can make you feel the way you want to feel from energy, not a huge, no, not 200 calories that gets digested at once, but, you know, 100, 200 calories that's digested over a couple hours, which is really the benefit of UCAN.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure that it was, you know, one of the key pieces that I needed to find in order to, you know, get me off that sugar roller coaster. I mean, it's strange because I didn't even realize it at the time what was happening, you know, but, you know, once you go a period like of 8 months or something, you look back and you're like, wow, I've like my eating behavior has completely changed and it must be because of this product. It's quite extraordinary. So what are the foods then that, I mean, it's a question that I get asked all the time, and usually it doesn't come as directly as this. It's like, you know, I noticed I went for a bike ride the other morning and the superstarch didn't work. I was starving. And so what did you eat for breakfast? And, you know, the person says, well, I had, you know, toast or cereal or something. And the person's quite often has noticed that it's better if they don't eat any breakfast at all. But I don't think that's, you know, completely necessary. You don't have to, you know, start your ride fasted or start your workout fasted. So, I mean, what foods work best sort of before, during and after with UCAN?
So, you know, we have folks with all different types of diets using UCAN, plant-based, high carb diets. We're in around 65 colleges and they're all eating, you know, lots of carbohydrate and using UCAN as the carbohydrate before their exercise to keep their blood sugar steady and help them with fat utilization and burning fat as their fuel source. Mm-hmm. But if you're someone who's going to have UCAN along with two bowls of cereal and some bread that you may have had 30 minutes before, it's UCAN's probably going to help you with your, you know, at least managing your energy a little bit better. But because of the insulin response from those foods, you're likely not going to be able to utilize the fat that you could if you just had, some protein and fat before.
Right.
A lot of folks, you know, I just went mountain biking for 2 hours, probably a couple weeks ago. And what I did, you know, is we have a protein enhanced version of UCAN that a lot of people use as their breakfast / pre-exercise snack.
Okay.
And the added protein, you know, and you, if you're someone who's into coconut oil, you could always add coconut oil to UCAN. People have called coconut oil an extender of UCAN. So, you know, while UCAN is working on the brain and working on your energy, you still might need some foods to help, you know, curb hunger in your stomach. And that's why protein is really great at, you know, curbing hunger in the stomach. And also a little bit of fat helps coat the stretch receptors in your stomach. Mm-hmm. So we do have some folks that, you know, have, you know, a packet or two scoops of our vanilla cream. Some folks just have that by itself 30 minutes before they start a ride. And that might last them, you know, 2 hours.
Right.
And the thing is that, you know, I just got an email from a customer who is telling me that as he uses UCAN more, he notices the benefits more. Because mm-hmm. if you're someone who's used to a different way of fueling, if you're used to having lots of cereal and gels and you go cold turkey and go to UCAN, you're still in that sugar burning mode. You're still used to that spike from mm-hmm. the energy, where UCAN doesn't give you a spike in energy, but it sustains you over time. And, you know, we have great metabolic data showing how people improve their fat utilization over a 30-day period and even over a 3-month period. So so that's the thing, is that, you know, as you teach your body to use fat as a fuel and also as you change your eating habits, the UCAN becomes more effective. But, you know, I'll tell you, we still, you know, we have a lot of people that still, you know, have, you know, a cereal and a piece of fruit, you know, 2 hours before a bike ride, and then have UCAN 30 minutes before and they're fine. So what we find is some folks who wait an hour and a half for at least to let their insulin levels come down mm-hmm. and allow their body to absorb those carbohydrates. If they have UCAN again, as before their exercise, they're able to get the benefits. So it's just sometimes a timing issue. You probably don't want to have UCAN and a lot of sugar or a lot of carbohydrates at once. And it's also because you don't need it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, what I've been suggesting is, you know, I think most people are aware of the hormone insulin and what kind of foods, you know, cause it to go up. And, you know, bacon and eggs seems like an obvious choice for breakfast for me, for something that's going to, you know, not give that insulin response. But it sounds like, you know, the version of UCAN with the whey protein might be a really good option if you, you know, you didn't have the time, you've got to get out the door quickly, you know, ready for that bike ride or run, or maybe you've got a competition and you're staying in a hotel or something like that. It sounds like it could be, you know, a really good like meal replacement to that's going to get you, you know, the best out of superstarch once you're on your actually during the workout.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you wanted to, you could always add some coconut oil to that right. vanilla cream UCAN. But for people that are traveling or who just want to get out the door, and, you know, UCAN is very easy on your stomach because it's got, you know, you're talking about before, it has that very high molecular weight. And so large molecules move through your stomach very quickly. Whereas if you had that cereal and banana, those are going to cause that bloat in the stomach.
Right. Right.
So our vanilla cream flavor has been amazing. But, you know, for that person that wants to get a little bit more added protein in their diet in the morning and has the time, we have a new flavor, a tropical orange UCAN. And a lot of folks are having, you know, maybe 3 scrambled eggs for breakfast, but on the side of their breakfast are having a scoop of UCAN with water, the way they used to have orange juice.
I like that. Yeah, that's cool. It's like the worst possible choice, isn't it? A glass of orange juice. But yeah, that's a really fun alternative that's going to taste much the same, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of folks who want to have a little bit more food for breakfast are having UCAN as the carbohydrate portion of their breakfast because it's going to keep their blood sugar stable and it's going to allow for that consistent fat utilization during their exercise.
Right, right.
So they might have that an hour before they start just to give some more time for the protein in the eggs to digest.
Right. I see. I was kind of wondering, you know, when I first started to realize what was going on here with superstarch, you know, like I found myself leading less and less. So, you know, it's almost the opposite of the, you know, the maltodextrin, the sugar stuff, of which there's like lots of different varieties out there now. But, you know, with the sugar where I found I like needed more and more and more, the superstarch I found it, I needed like less and less and less, you know, and so I started doing longer and longer bike rides, you know, with less superstarch. And now I'm at the point where, you know, I could quite easily go do, you know, I've done a 6-hour ride actually on nothing at all, just like a couple of tablespoons of coconut oil. So, I mean, I kind of wonder, did you like ever think of this? Like, is this common? And is it like something you're worried about? It almost seems like a flawed business model, you know, where you're just going to put everybody into this like fat adaptation mode and then they're no longer going to need your product. Is it something you're aware of?
Well, you know, a lot of folks who aren't even in ketosis notice that, as I mentioned before, as they use UCAN over time, it becomes more effective.
Right.
So for example, you know, we have one person who was, you know, a marathoner. They used to have 2 packets, which is equals 3 scoops for, you know, right. for anybody who buys our tubs. And they would need a dose of UCAN probably at mile 10 to take him through to mile 20.
Right.
So, you know, but now they can have 2 packets before a 20-mile run and that's all they need.
Right.
They don't need that dose of UCAN, you know, during their run anymore.
Right.
But the thing is that for us, we're teaching people's bodies to become better at utilizing fat, but at the same time, your brain is always, you know, especially, you know, when you're not in ketosis, you know, your brain is always going to need glucose because it's the right. only thing that can feed your brain.
Exactly.
Now, you know, and even when you're in ketosis, your body still needs a little bit of glucose. So, you know, and the other thing is that if you are in ketosis and you want to do anything high intensity, it can be extremely beneficial because it'll give you that steady blood sugar to be able to approach higher intensities while you burn fat at higher intensities too.
I mean, that's where it's come into its own. You know, it's not been, you know, the end of the road for me and UCAN at all because, you know, it's still my go-to supplement of choice for bike races because I know, you know, I race mountain bikes. And although, you know, primarily it's an aerobic, steady state type of activity. There's definitely moments, you know, when I have to power up, you know, to 500-600 watts to get over some roots or some rocks or to pass someone. You know, those moments, they do definitely do happen in the race. And, you know, it's unrealistic to assume that I'm still using fat or ketones for those harder efforts. So, you know, I can take the superstarch and it will give me some glucose to hopefully patch over those, you know, high intensity efforts, but it won't knock me out of ketosis and, you know, make me feel awful, you know, in a way that any other type of carbohydrate would.
Exactly. And that's why there's so many folks that, you know, follow, you know, lower carbohydrate plans. But if they want to do sprint intervals on the treadmill, they want to go out and do some high intensity work, they'll have a scoop of UCAN, even if it's just a 30-minute track workout where they're doing maybe, you know, 8 200s, something like that. Mm-hmm. They'll just have a scoop of UCAN before. It'll keep their blood sugar stable. They'll be able to approach the high intensity work. And afterward, their blood sugar is not going to be low. The way it could be if they were just on a low carb plan and trying to just have maybe, a scoop of protein before or something like that. So that's one of the beauties of UCAN is its ability to keep your blood sugar stable, keep your body in that low carb mode, but get all the benefits, you know, of the high intensity efforts as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I think it's easy, you know, especially with the macronutrients. It's like once people find something that works, like, you know, moderate protein or low carb, they tend to take that to an extreme and then become quite frightened of whatever it was. You know, so for in the early days for me, like everyone else, I thought that a low fat diet was the way to go. And so I was quite fat phobic. And now I've gone the other way, right, where I'm in ketosis. So 80% of my energy by calories is coming from fat. But yeah, at the same time, you know, I don't think it makes sense to become, you know, carbohydrate phobic, because that's not optimal either. It's like, you know, it's not necessarily so. But tell me what. So I'm going to do a 100-mile bike race on Saturday. And I'm just wondering, what do you think the upper limits on dose are? Is it, I mean, it's because it's got this high molecular weight and it's so slowly absorbed. I'm wondering, is it possible to take too much UCAN and then, you know, run into problems with that?
So it's just that, you know, for example, if you're going to go out, I'll just give our basic usage recommendations because that could help you with your 100-mile ride.
Okay.
The fact is that for exercise that's going to be roughly either an hour and a half to 2 hours, you just need a packet of UCAN before or roughly a scoop and a half to two scoops. It's only for exercise over 2 hours do you need to refuel. And that's where folks for exercise over 2 hours, like a 100-mile ride, mm-hmm. they'll have a scoop to two scoops of UCAN every 60 to 90 minutes.
Right.
So someone who's new to UCAN, let's say trying to get off gels and sugar beans, they'll have probably a scoop to two scoops every hour. And then over time, they'll probably need that every 90 minutes. And, you know, some folks need that every 2 hours, you know, because again, they're teaching their bodies to become more efficient and use more fat as fuel. So that's especially, that's our basic usage guidelines. So it's not like, you know, we have people that do Ironmans that do a packet every hour. They'll go through 11 packets in, you know, 11 hours for an Ironman. Other folks can do an Ironman on 6 or 7 packets, which, you know, is roughly equaling maybe, you know, 800 calories.
Right.
So there's that range where someone can, you know, use roughly a scoop to two scoops, you know, every 60 to 90 minutes. And from there, they can figure out how much they need. But okay. The most important thing is to, as you use UCAN for your shorter workouts, you know, during the week, you're going out for an hour and a half, you know, for a ride. You'll have a scoop of UCAN before. You'll notice how long that scoop lasts you. And then you use it for a 4-hour ride. You notice how it can help you. And then you can really basically figure out your usage for something much longer, like a 10-hour ride, after you've used it a lot for your shorter distances as well.
Right. And then so, you know, one time in particular, I was doing like a 6-hour race or something. And I was taking like a scoop every hour, which it seemed like a good idea at the time. But it just gave me the most horrendous gas afterwards. Like, it was ridiculous. And I'm guessing what happened there was I just consumed more than I was able to absorb. And then it ends up as food for the bacteria in the large intestine. Is that unique? I mean, I've got a really broken digestive system that's still really a work in progress, if I'm honest. But, you know, that was a year ago and I've made a lot of progress since then. But is that something you've heard about before? Is that kind of a unique weirdness for me?
It's a unique weirdness for you. But, you know, the fact is that, you know, if someone is...
It makes sense, doesn't it? Like what's happened there.
Yeah, you just don't need that much. And, you know, over time, people, you know, are able to tolerate UCAN a lot better. So that's why the best thing to do is to use it for your shorter workouts over time and then use more for your longer workouts. But give your body time to get used to it and transition off your different way of fueling. Because if your GI tract is very used to sugars, it might take a session or two to get used to UCAN.
Okay. And then so I wanted to ask you about what you thought about artificial sweeteners and insulin. So I've noticed that, you know, I'm kind of a purist and I just buy the plain UCAN. And honestly, I don't really have that many people that are asking for the other flavors. But, you know, I wonder, what are your thoughts on, you know, artificial sweeteners and a possible insulinogenic effect? And what do you think?
You know, we use a small amount of artificial sweetener in our lemonade, pomegranate, and our chocolate flavors, but our company has moved in the direction of using natural sweeteners we have a cranberry raspberry flavor sweet with stevia. We have a tropical orange now sweetened with monk fruit, and our vanilla cream UCAN, that protein enhanced version, is also sweetened with monk fruit. But, you know, the data we've seen from various physiologists and insulin curves is, you know, you can remain have adequate fat oxidation while still taking artificial sweetener. We also use a very small amount, but our company's moving in the direction of naturally sweetening our products in the future, just for more of a health aspect.
Okay, interesting. So I want to know, like, it seemed like UCAN was a fairly small company and it was a fairly niche product when I first started using it, but it seems like the word has like really got out. So, you know, who's using it now?
So we have we first start off with sports teams, you know, in the NFL, the NBA, NHL. Then we run around 65 colleges. So a lot of collegiate athletes are using UCAN instead of the sugar-based sports drinks. And they're noticing, you know, I had one college athlete. The first thing he says to me is, oh, I use UCAN. It makes me really mentally alert and better focused. Mm-hmm. So you don't ever hear that from a sugar-based sports drink. I mean, the feedback we get is phenomenal. So, you know, we have NBA athletes going 3 hours on one packet and they're not hungry after their workouts and they're not, you know, they're able to sustain their energy and blood sugar in that fourth quarter. But also, you know, an NFL player is able to not only have a 2 hour practice, but then watch 2 hours of game film and still stay focused. Then we launched at Lifetime Fitness. We're in all their 105 locations and all of their personal trainers are actually using UCAN to get better results with their clients. And a lot of them might just be on weight loss plans, you know, the typical person working a 50-hour week, but trying to get into the gym 3 or 4 times a week. And, you know, we have people keeping a tub of UCAN at work to have it in, to have that 3 o'clock time, avoiding that third or fourth cup of coffee, avoiding that, you know, that corporate environment where, you know, your desk neighbor has Twizzlers and you're kind of thinking about what should I have because you might be bored. You know, that UCAN is able to keep blood sugar stable and keep your brain focused so you're not looking and reaching for desk drawer items.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely a problem that I hear about all the time is, you know, once blood glucose starts to drop too low and you add a little bit of stress in there, you see, you know, the release of cortisol. And that's why, you know, it's really bad news. But yeah, I'm starting to wonder about coffee as well. Is it that people, you know, really like the taste of coffee? Or is it they really like the effect that it has, you know, one of which is to stimulate the adrenals and, you know, force the secretion of a little bit of cortisol that could raise blood glucose. I'm just kind of wondering, but I can see for sure, you know, like my wife is a really good example that she can drink coffee and see a really nice blood glucose response, which is like kind of surprising because you normally think of, you know, blood glucose just being, you know, associated with eating carbohydrate, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, well, I think what happens to a lot of folks is if they do have that third cup of coffee at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, trying to get through the last couple hours of the workday, you know, they're not eating calories. So their body plays catch up later in the day, but then also their sleep might be disturbed because of the half-life of caffeine. So, you know, they might disrupt their adenosine receptors and just the way they're feeling at night. They might be too alert and then they have a poor night of sleep. And then, you know, if they sleep poorly, then their glucose tolerance the next day might be off. And it's
exactly,
just like this cycle. So, you know, I can't tell you how many folks, you know, we've had personal training teams challenge their personal trainers to avoid that cup of coffee that you might have at 3 o'clock. A lot of personal trainers train clients from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. back to back to back. And they'll have two scoops of Yucan to take them through. Instead of getting low blood sugar, instead of getting hungry, because they can't, you know, this is a perfect example. They can't break to eat dinner. So Yucan's benefit is that it keeps them stable, helps them get through that period because they're having dinner so late at night. So there's this huge application for Yucan for folks that are going periods of time without breaking for a meal, which happens in a lot of various jobs today.
Yeah, it's so common. So tell me about your experience of superstarch and ketogenic diets. I mean, that's one of its main appeals to me now, is the fact that I can take this as a source of carbohydrate and not be knocked out of ketosis. So is that unique, that experience too, or have you heard this from other people too?
A lot of people send me their ketone levels. I get these huge reports, and some folks, you know, are combining it with coconut oil in the morning. We had one personal trainer out in Houston who has 40 clients. And he couldn't believe that it kept a 2.5 level of beta hydroxybutyrate in a lot of his clients. A lot of people are actually using Yucan for that, you know, because there's a lot of dietitians and trainers who know that, okay, my client needs to reduce their carbohydrate load, especially when they're overweight and they might be an endomorphic physique that puts on fat easily, that doesn't tolerate carbs well. But the problem they've noticed is that, and we've seen this at Lifetime, is that if you just drop your carbohydrates to try to get them below 100 grams per day, there's the cravings, there's the irritability, there's, you know, that transition period. Some people call it the carb flu, where for a couple of weeks, it's, you know, if you can't make it through that transition period, it's very tough to comply to a low carb diet.
Right.
So a lot of folks have, as they're trying to transition their meals, whether it's eggs for breakfast, you know, a chicken salad, chicken and, you know, vegetables for lunch, and some type of meat and veggies for dinner, they'll use Yucan in between their meals to try to keep blood sugar stable and help people work on their habits at those meals of avoiding the refined carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really good – Yucan has been an amazing transition tool to take someone from a higher carb, refined carbohydrate diet, dropping their carbs to just maybe Yucan and vegetables. And we see dramatic shifts in body composition that way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's what I effectively did, but I didn't really plan it, you know. I never had any of that low carb flu or any problems with the keto adaption phase. But honestly, I took 2 years about doing it. So I went from, you know, pre-diabetes, total sugar burner, transitioning through to Yucan, and then increasing the amount of fat in my diet to where now I'm eating a ketogenic diet. But, you know, really that's kind of, I did it so, so slowly, you know, that I didn't really suffer any of those things. But I could really see that, you know, someone that's currently eating a high carb diet and they'd want to like give ketosis a try, then, you know, Yucan, it sounds like it's going to be a great tool to help those people get started. Tell me, so I wonder about, you know, the fact that Yucan is made from corn. I know for me personally, corn is, you know, highly allergenic, and I've done some testing, some saliva secretory IgA testing, which is somewhat non-specific in that it looks at a number of dietary proteins, so gliadin, casein, so the protein in milk, and then corn and soy, and one other I can never remember. But anyway, so it's a non-specific test, and you know, I've seen it elevated and known that I was taking superstarch. So it kind of sort of just, even though, you know, I have the most sensitive digestion you could ever imagine, and I've got absolutely no problem with superstarch, but it did make me wonder, does superstarch have any memory of ever being corn? So could I ever expect to see it, you know, contaminated, maybe is the word, with like the proteins from corn?
Well, I don't really think that's the best way to think about it. You know, the heat and moisture process, you know, that we have could denature some of the prolamines in corn. We've had some folks who, you know, I always tell people if you have an allergy to corn or a sensitivity, you know, that's the people that can't take Yucan. But I'll tell you, we've had some folks who've been, you know, it's been the GMOs that give them the corn allergy or the corn sensitivity, and we're a non-GMO corn. And we have had a lot of folks tolerate our carbohydrate. I had one, you know, just to illustrate this, you know, we had one boy, he was 15 years old. He was on his way to becoming an Olympic champion swimmer. And his grandfather emails me a laundry list of allergies, fructose, glucose, sucrose, you know, corn, you know, the list goes down. And he says, should he take Yucan? I say, no, you know, he's allergic to corn. But, you know, the grandfather didn't listen to me. And he comes back with an email 3 days later saying, I did a food allergy test, you know, over 3 days to test UCAN. And his grandson is jumping out of the water, hugging him because, you know, he's able to make it through 3 hour swim workouts without any of his symptoms. So this is one person who's been, you know, tolerating UCAN. But we have to be cautious. You know, if you have sensitivities or if you have an allergy to corn, you know, you probably shouldn't have it because it's corn based.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe my corn allergy is not what I thought it was. I mean, it's normally, you know, if you've got any kind of GI symptoms, then, you know, removing corn from your diet is definitely a good idea, along with all those other dietary proteins I just mentioned, just to see how you do. But yeah, it's interesting that it didn't affect me either. Like, I definitely would have known had I had a problem with it. And I think, you know, that's something we work with people and we encourage them to do their own experimentation, right? So you just go through, you know, a 30 or 60 day period where you're extremely strict, removing all of these proteins from your diet, all of these potentially allergenic foods. And then that puts you in a really nice place to experiment. So, you know, once you're feeling really good, then you could just maybe try adding back in a little bit of UCAN and see how it makes you feel. And if you don't get any GI symptoms, then, you know, that's going to be okay. And then to titrate up slowly. So, you know how it's going to affect you. So, I had another question about, you know, how you should take UCAN during the course of the ride. So I, you know, some people I know like sip it, which I have never done. And I guess I must have read it somewhere in the instructions somewhere. But is there any problem with that? Or do you think it's better just to do, you know, one scoop at a time in a single shot, if you know what I mean?
So we've had folks do it both ways. But the majority of folks, as long as they have a large serving of UCAN before they start, you know, they don't need they can sip on it. But the thing is that if sipping on it doesn't work for you, you know, you have to have it all at once. It does take time to digest out of your intestine into your bloodstream. And that's why, you know, if someone, for example, is going out for a 2 hour ride, but they have, you know, two scoops of UCAN before and then they sip on a scoop during, those two scoops beforehand are really absorbed throughout the ride. And so they don't, you know, so they don't really need to have a full serving at once halfway through a ride.
Right.
But, you know, the fact is that, you know, if someone doesn't respond to UCAN and they're sipping on it, they need to have it all at once. But other folks, you know, they may have enough at certain intervals, even though they're sipping on it, for it to work. So it really, you have to try both ways, but the majority of people really should have, you know, have UCAN more as your fuel source. You know, we every 60 to 90 minutes have it as a shot. But when we say it, have it all at once, this is for the best effectiveness. People do break the rules and sip on it. But this is how we recommend it. You know, if you have two scoops before you start and 12 ounces of cold water, you know, you're 60 to 90 minutes into your ride, you have that next scoop in 8 ounces of water. You want to just slam that within 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah. We have a new product, a UCAN Hydrate, which we have an electrolyte product. And that's really meant to be your hydration and what you sip on for added electrolytes and hydration. It's got 100 milligrams of sodium chloride, 100 milligrams of sodium citrate, 100 milligrams of potassium citrate. We have 50 milligrams of magnesium, which is going to be extremely important for those folks that are doing a longer duration exercise, as magnesium helps with ATP production deeper into a race and exercise. And then a little bit of calcium too, which is lost in sweat. So the ratio of the electrolytes matches what you lose in sweat, but also we add more magnesium to support your energy needs.
Well, that's interesting. Actually, I didn't know about that. That's particularly interesting to me. With a ketogenic diet, you tend to end up depleted of those electrolytes more easily. So,
oh yeah, it's naturally sweetened with stevia. And the other application for this is to be an electrolyte replacement drink for those folks, you know, who do need these added minerals, especially on a ketogenic plan or a low carb plan.
Right, right. So, do you have any advice for? It seems like there's always a problem for me and with storage of UCAN, right? So, you know, I've come up with sort of various tricks over the years of, you know, things like I have these little Hydropack soft flask things that I fill, you know, but UCAN has a tendency to settle in whatever you store it in. And, you know, the nice thing about these soft flasks is it's just like it looks a bit like a tube of toothpaste, and you can manipulate the outside of it and get it, you know, back into a suspension.
Well, the thing is that you're using the plain UCAN.
Oh, that makes
sense. And that's the only one that sells at the bottom, because there's no emulsifier in it to keep it suspended in liquid. All the other flavors will be able to be suspended in liquid. That's the reason.
Ha, huh, I did not know that. So what do you do then if you're doing, you know, a longer, you know, bike race or ride, whatever type of the workout is, and say you need more than three bottles, three scoops, like how do you store it all?
Well, you can use our packets and put it in a, you know, and you can just, break open a packet and put it into a bottle. And that's what some folks do. Like our Ironman athletes use their, have their kits that they pick up, and have extra packets there. That's the only way. You know, if you're going on a long ride, you might keep a few packets stored in a bag that you attach to your bike. There's so many folks that are simply doing exercise so much less than 6 hours that, this is the exception, people going out for a 10-hour ride. It's not like every day people are going out for a 10-hour ride.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, can you think of any obvious limitations of Superstarch? Is there ever a time where you as a registered dietitian, you're working with people, you say to them, look, you need to do this as well?
Well, listen, UCAN is a tool in the program.
Right.
It works very well when people are looking to lose weight. They can't have UCAN and have a bowl of ice cream right afterward. It's not like that.
Right.
It's a very much a tool that can help you achieve your goals. And especially, the only people that might want, that need to avoid are people with a corn allergy. But right. Besides that, it's meant for kids originally. It's a healthier form of carbohydrate that a lot of people can benefit from.
Right. Right. Yeah. The other thing I've been finding works really well for me is, I mix it with, this is the plane again. So maybe we're coming back to this suspension thing. I mix it with MCT oil. So I buy this bulletproof, MCT oil you've probably heard of. The brain octane, the stronger stuff, more concentrated, is even better. Actually, it's been working really good for me. And then I like shake that up with the Superstarch and it forms a kind of milky suspension that's actually slightly more palatable than the plain Superstarch on its own. And it tends to stay as a suspension a little bit longer as well. It's been quite interesting.
Yeah, that's probably the fat source. Yeah, that's fine. That might help you with the plain UCAN and adding some MCT or coconut oil to it. It should be fine.
Excellent. Well, that's just about it. I mean, thanks very much for your time. I'm so pleased that you came on to talk about this. It's been an amazing product for me. And, I've turned so many people onto it and no one ever goes back. So, it's great that I have this as a resource to point people at. Thank you.
My pleasure. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Cheers, then, Seth.
Thanks, Chris. Bye.
Bye-bye.